The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, guys, we're back. This episode is entitled The Cadillac. This is a two-part episode, so make sure you watch both parts because we will be talking about both. In this episode, Jerry gifts his dad a Cadillac. When he does that, basically it triggers gold digger instincts in Elaine because she didn't realize how much money he had. Kramer tries
it's
to
hilarious.
Take... Yeah, it's pretty fucking funny. Kramer takes revenge on the cable company for not being at home when for not showing up when they said they would. So he does the same thing to the cable company. George becomes obsessed with the possibility of dating Marissa Tomei, the Academy Award-winning actress, who actually is in the episode. What did you think of this episode?
It's pretty good. It's I got Marissa Tomei to be in this thing.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome.
I'm hit or miss with the older folks. I think they're funny, but I think too much of them is a bad thing.
Okay.
But there's a huge payoff in this episode.
Yeah,
and it makes it worth it. Yeah, it's George is out of pocket
the whole time. The whole fucking
good boy, yo. Like, I understand, like, you want to see if you still got it, but nah, yo.
It's unacceptable behavior. It's unacceptable behavior.
It's incredibly unacceptable. And I'm very surprised that this turn for Elaine's character. To just be like, whoa, hey, you got money, so how you doing? You need anything? Like,
you want to pick you up from the airport? I mean, should I say it?
Look, stereotypes exist for a reason, folks. I don't know.
Look, some chicks like fucking money, dude. What the fuck? Like, why are we acting like that's not true? Come on, like. I'm not even trying to be an asshole here. Like, yeah, it's real nice to look at somebody and be like, oh shit, like, you got it together. Yeah. Like, I found it hilarious because Elaine plays it so well, or Julie Louis-Dreyfus plays it so well. But yeah, like, some women like a dude's got cash. Spoiler alert, a lot do. Like, a lot do. Just like, a lot of guys like a woman who's attractive. Like, I mean, like the same thing. Like, wow, she's got a great whatever you're into. Yeah. Guys don't give a fuck about it much anything else past that. Like, that's our lot in life. We're superficial assholes in that way. Like, and some women are superficial the other way. It happens. No, but I think it's played pretty well.
You know more people than I do. You ever met just a gold digger? Yeah, somebody ever been out for your cash?
Oh,
I'm way too cheap, so I'm not spending money on something that I don't think is gonna pan out. Not anymore. I used to.
Okay, I was gonna say
I got burned.
I was gonna say, sir, that quote, yeah, you have a quote by you, apple headed bitch. just took your money. See. This is hilarious to me. Yes, people take advantage 100%. No, I learned that lesson, man. I learned that lesson. That's why I'm a, not a sucker, man. I'm nobody's free ride to the promised land, as it were. Like, I'm just not. Take care of me, do all this stuff. I ain't gonna do shit. No. You cheap. You broke. That's my favorite. That's my favorite thing. You broke. You asking me to pay for everything for you. How am I broke?
Are you going to pay $28 for a dinner for somebody?
No, that's too much.
I love the persona. I love the persona, or like the narrative rather, not persona, but I love the narrative like that I'm a cheap person. I'm like, you clearly don't know me. Like, are you serious? I spend inordinate amounts of money on shit I definitely shouldn't. It's just that I'm not, I don't think that money is everything.
That was a,
it's one of the most enlightening fucking Facebook conversations I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. And it was, and it would come around like maybe once or twice, maybe once a month or once every other month of one person, you know, trying to, I guess she was trolling, but she was just kind of testing the waters to see, who the cheap niggas are. Yeah. And, yeah, I ain't saying nothing because I'm a cheap nigga. Like,
you ain't gonna get me. Get me out of the box. Get out of here. I'm just an advocate. I am a hardcore advocate for people making their own way. I just am. I am. Like I'm an advocate for that shit. Like, why the hell do you want people to do everything for you? You're an adult. I never understood that. I'm an advocate for that. And like, if we're together, I'm not a cheap person at all. Like, by no means am I a cheap person in that way. But I ain't just going to throw cash out to somebody I just met. Get the fuck out of here. No. No.
Yeah, TV and movies got y'all fooled, man.
Yeah, they got y'all fucked all the way up.
Yeah.
They got y'all fucked all the way up. In 2021... You got a $70,000 job. I got a $70,000 job, but I got to pay for everything. Shut the fuck up. Get out of here with that shit. Get out of here with that. But why? Why can't you? Why can't you take me on a date? Well, that, because in 1942, that's what men did. Oh, really? That's solid logic. Good. Guess what? 1942, in the words of Bill Barr, they used to beat women with a stick. They don't make it right. Like, that's dumb. Like, don't use that logic. It's stupid. I hate it. I hate it, yo. I hate it. To grown ass people want you acting like children. Take me somewhere. My daughter does that. She's 2. Take me to Dunkin' Donuts. No problem. You don't have a job.
The fuck?
I hate it, yo. I am not a fan of adults who act like that. Like, I'm just not. It's just not for me. It's not for me.
And they pride themselves on being able to get stuff out of men like that.
Right? You're a fucking gold digger, dude.
But at the same time, like, just how movies and TV got them fucked up. Movies and TV got us fucked up because we expect something in
right.
Return.
That's why I don't want it. That's why I don't want it.
Niggas always want. If they pay for dinner, they want pussy.
How about you pay for half and I pay for half, and then we don't have to worry about that. Like, we just don't have to worry about it. Right? We just don't have to worry about it. Like, again, like you said, TV and movies got y'all fucked up. It's got y'all fucked up. It's got y'all fucked up.
I can't never find a nigga who's going to pay for everything while I don't pay for anything and then expect to be treated equally in all other respects. What? Huh? Huh?
I don't understand. I don't understand. Show me respect. Okay. Like, no problem. I will treat you as an equal. Like. Oh, so you just never gonna contribute. That's not equal. That's not what equal means, yo. That is not what equal means. Like, alligator arm to shit. Like, fake reaching for your wallet. You just fake it. It was just like, I just reach your arm a little bit. Like, you don't have to even try that hard.
Oh, shit.
That's just so funny. Like, I find it so funny because people on the internet who don't know me personally, like, you know me personally. Like, yeah. I would never be like, I'm like, my wife has to pay for everything. Like, it's just not, that's just not who we are, right? Like, just don't do that.
No.
Like, I love Beyonce and Jay-Z, or I love Barack and Michelle. You know, they don't do this bullshit that you talking about, right? You love power couples, but you don't want to be, you want somebody to do all the work. Like, that's not how a power couple works. Like,
right. Beyonce didn't say there's $500 million on an elevator. Like, no, it's $1 billion. You know why? Because each of them got $500 million.
Yeah, they bring in both shit to the game, yo. They not. Again, yo, like, it's wild to me. It's wild to me that people live like that. It's wild to me. Like, we can't never have nothing. Yeah. The boat would be moving faster if you picked up an oar.
Like, what the fuck? Like, no. They don't get it. They don't get it. And that's fine. Like, look, you live your life.
Look, that's not to say, look, I don't think either one of us is saying that, like, treating somebody is out of the question, right? But like,
no, my wife and I literally have a thing where it's like treat our, you know, this is a treat my husband gift, or this is a treat my wife gift. Like, we literally have that. Like, it's not expected, but we do it all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Like, but don't just be like, I'm gonna do nothing. Like, what's mine is mine and what's yours is ours. Like, get the fuck. No. I don't agree with that shit. That shit pisses me off. Like, fuck off. I would never be with somebody like that. Spoiler, I was with someone like that. And I was like, this is a lesson to learn. No. Get the fuck. This is my rant at the beginning of this episode. Now, don't be a sucker, man. Now, don't be the highway to somebody's lavish lifestyle while you suffering. Get the fuck out of here. That's stupid.
Well, I got what I wanted out of this.
I knew you did. No, I know you did. That's fine. This is on Premiere. Don't tell me nothing. You got to pay $5 to hear that rant. Yo, just do it. Like, I will never understand. I just don't understand it. How do you want to make it in life? You're handicapping yourself. Like, that's what I understand. Like, oh, Jay's rich or whatever. Like, I know that joke. You know why we can afford? We got two incomes, my nigga. Two, not one. I'm not trying to do it with one. Like, no, we're doing it with two. It's way easier to have two adults with incomes to do things. Like, like, both checks, same account. Like, they just go in. Like, that's it. And we pay for shit. Stupid.
Oh man,
that's so fucking dumb. I don't.
Jerry comes back from a gig in Florida, and the gig paid like a tremendous amount of money.
I kind of want to know what that check was.
Yeah, I kind of want to know what that was.
I mean, he bought his dad a Cadillac. Yo, Cadillac's like 50 grand at least. A
fully loaded Cadillac.
Yeah, you know?
and I'm assuming he bought it straight cash, son.
Yeah, right.
Because he ain't giving it. He ain't saddling his dad with a car note.
Right, and I don't think he's saddling himself with one either.
Right, so. I'm very curious to see what a stand up gig pays.
Got me.
Cause it's like, yeah, it's Jerry Seinfeld, but it's not the Jerry Seinfeld of this world, right? It's the Jerry Seinfeld in the Seinfeld world.
Right, exactly. Like, get the fuck out of here.
You know what I mean? But he comes back and he shows Kramer. He was like, whoa. He was reluctant to show Kramer, but he shows Kramer at Kramer's insistence. And
you showing your friends like what you make?
No, I mean, I'll tell certain people what I make. I'll tell certain people who I think are at like my level.
Right. I'm not telling somebody who's not where I am or above me.
Right.
Like, yeah. You can't tell your broke friends. Like, no, that's why I make like.
What? Right. Like if I tell somebody who like what I make looks real good on paper. It really does.
Right.
But you have to factor in the fact that I live where I live.
Oh, nigga, you broke. Where you live?
Right. Like it is what it is.
Oh, I'm rich where I live. I'm filthy rich. No, I'm not. I told a story of waking up two crackheads right around the corner from my house. Like, but they were crackheads in a Prius, so we're doing better.
Right. Like, if I lived in Winnemucca, Nevada, making the salary that I'm making, I could own Winnemucca, Nevada.
Right. I'm yeah. Assuming. I mean,
because no one's ever heard of it. Right.
I mean, what was that? 50 grand? Best,
but it's all the way you live, man.
Oh, yeah, it's all around.
You live in California, make a ton of money, but they live in California where everything is expensive.
Yep,
I ain't trying to pay $5 for fucking a gallon of milk. Better get out of here.
I made good money when I lived in California, and I lived in San Diego. It was not the same as what I made here. I was like, oof. Like, yeah, I saw when I saw that offer, I was like, yeah, nigga, we rich. And I saw that bill come in. Oh, no. Whoa. All
right.
Well, I ain't got no money.
Like, this is how, like, I make good money on paper. I would not be able to live where I work.
No, you couldn't. No, you could not. Nope. Nah, you'd have to ask people for sandwiches and shit on your lunch break.
Right. As an apartment complex across the courtyard from where I work, and I would not be able to afford to live in that apartment complex.
No, that is correct. You could not. Yo, that's a mad expensive area. But like making what I make, it's great here, downtown Baltimore, and like the like ritzy, like, hey, why don't we upgrade it for white people areas?
Nope. Right.
I'd be like, no. Like, I don't make enough money that I could shop at Whole Foods every week like it ain't nothing. My wife and I tried that, by the way. We were like, this is before we had our daughter. It's like, we're only going to shop at Whole Foods. Let's, like, go, like, super, like, organic and healthy. Like, all right. Nigga, we did a grocery shopping at Whole Foods one time. I was like, yo, this is, like, $35 worth of groceries, and it cost like $85. I was like, we're done here. Like, back to Giant. Back to Giant. Right. Get out of here.
Hey, get out of here, man.
No.
Get out of here.
Are you trying to scam us?
So Kramer is like, wow. Like, like the friendship might be affected. Like, you
guys right. Got done
money. Yo. We cut to the coffee shop. Elaine is sitting with her friend. I think her name's Katie. And George pops in and, you know, he starts making small talk. He starts, you know, he's on, right?
Yeah.
He's doing his thing. And her friend is like, wow, my friend, you're really funny. And Elaine, ever the cock blocker, is like, yep, too bad he's engaged, right? And she's like, oh, what a shame, because I would have loved to set you up with my friend. Who's your friend? Marissa Tomei.
Come on.
What?
Yeah, yo, come on. You can't tell. Yeah, you can't tell no dude that. Like, come on, man.
She's like, she loves quirky, funny guys. She's like, bald? Oh, loves bald guys. Loves bald guys. Oh, Marissa Tomei.
Like, bald or balding, okay? Those are two wildly different situations, yo. Come on, yo. Like, I am balding, but with the use of a straight razor, I am a bald man, and that's a very different look. It's a like that's a difference between all to oh, like right. That's a big difference. And George is like he ain't nah. Come on, knock off. Jason Statham is a like George Costanza is not. Nah, don't worry about that.
So we cut to Jerry in his apartment. George comes in. Jerry's like, I just bought my dad a Cadillac, fully loaded. He's like, wow, that's awesome. I am three people removed from Marissa Tomei. And
are you?
And no, he.
Oh, George, he is. Oh, okay.
George is saying, oh, shit, you think I'd be talking to you if I was three people removed from Marissa Tomei? I'd be in Spider-Man.
Right. No, I get it. That's what I was going to say. Like, wow, that's amazing. Why haven't you told us about this, you asshole?
Yeah, no. Get out of here. I'm a fan of Marissa Tomei. I have been
yeah, she's great.
She was in that first season of A Different World.
Yeah, she was.
That's when I thought she was black, because I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, only black people go to Hillman, right?
Yeah, she was like the only, she was like the white woman there on a, like a minority scholarship.
On a minority scholarship. That's right. That's the thing, folks. So while they're there, Cable Guy comes in. Cable Guy's like, yo, you know this guy across the street, across the hall. You know when he'll be back? He's like, nah, I don't know. Kramer comes in and he's like, and Jerry's like, hey, Cable Guy's looking for you. He's like, oh, I know. I'm avoiding him. I'm fucking with the Cable Guy. I'm making them wait for me, because it was a long time ago, you know, probably not this same guy.
Right.
A long time ago, they made me wait. They said we'll be from here from 9 to 1 or from 2 to 6. And I waited all day and they didn't show up. even though I'm Kramer and I don't have a job, so I got nothing to do.
Right.
So Kramer's like, oh, I'm going to get revenge on them. We got to George in his apartment. Susan comes in. She sees him watching My Cousin Vinny. And, you know, Susan's having fun with him. She's like, oh, you got a thing for Marissa Tomei? He's like, me, a thing for Marissa Tomei. Get out of here. So he calls Elaine when Susan's like in the back room. And he's like, Elaine, hook me up with your friend so she can hook me up with Marissa Tomei. And Elaine's like, no, nigga, what are you doing? Like, that's cheating.
Yeah, that's wildly unacceptable behavior.
Yeah, you can't do this, yo. You can't do this. Like, nah, I get it. Right?
I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay with it.
And look.
I get it, dog. I get it.
Right. If it was like a normal woman, like nobody, like George wouldn't like think too much of it, right? But because it's Marissa Tomei, he's like, I gotta see, right? I ain't doing this show. I'm not. Because you can't, like that Chris Rock joke, you can't run that fast.
No, you can't. It's like, she's too fine, yo. Like, that would be like me being engaged. And then somebody like, yeah, I was going to hook you up with my friend. Oh, who's your friend? Beyonce. I'd be like, all right, come on. Don't tell me. One, don't tell me that shit. Like, then knock it off. I'd rather never know that. Like, no. I had somebody once say something about me, like in a very positive, like, oh, you know, like, person's very, you know, XYZ, like, you know, very positive about like my looks or whatever. And I was like, nope, I'm out. Like, can't run that fast. Can't run that fast. You're like, I gotta go. Like, nah, I don't need to toy with that. Like, people make mistakes. People fuck up.
Half of people making mistakes is them putting themselves in the situation, right? Like, yep. Like you can't do that, yo. Like, oh, if you're at a club or something, it's just a guy's night or whatever. Like, you can't get fucking sloppy drunk, yo. You can't, like, you just can't put yourself in them situation. I'll never understand it. I really don't. Like, it's not hard to be monogamous. Like, it just isn't.
It's
like, if that's your thing, if that's the thing that you and your partner or whatever agreed upon, it's not that hard.
No, it's not. It only becomes difficult when you put yourself in situations that, like, is it, am I or not? Like, just don't ever put yourself in a situation like that. Like, right. I don't believe, you know, like the whole idea of cheating. Like, my wife and I have had this conversation many a time. Like, everybody has the potential to do it, right? Like, you could fuck up, right? You're too drunk. You just, again, you can't run that fast. Like people are human, right? People make mistakes. That's not acceptable. Like, it is not. Like, it's not like, oh, well, it was a human mistake. It's fine. No, it is a 0-day situation. You do that, it's over. Like, that's our fucking rule. I'm not saying that to be anybody else's rule, but that's our rule. But how you avoid that is by not putting yourself in situations like that. Hey, why don't you come up to my hotel room? No, I'll meet you in the lobby, my nigga. Like, get the fuck out of here. No, like, you don't put yourself in a situation where it could happen. Right? Like, you just don't. You put yourself, look, you go to somebody who you were attracted to, you go to their hotel room alone, you put yourself into that situation. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you've already put yourself into a situation that something could happen. If you're sitting in the lobby waiting for your coworker to come down, you're not putting yourself in that situation. It's as simple as that.
Right.
Don't do it. So,
right.
Nah, fuck that. Nah,
yeah,
good.
I'll never understand it, man. I really won't.
I have self-control, so I'm not like, oh, yeah, I've got to fuck it. Like, I just, dudes, I'm not almost, like that.
Like, there's a lot of dudes out there that just don't, right?
Nah,
like,
you
know. It ain't, you know, the women trying to trap you or whatever. You ain't that fine. You're not.
No, it don't even matter. Nigga, like, did she pull your penis out, knock you unconscious and was like, get it in there? No. You were just like, I bet. I mean, come on. Like, that's on you. So, no. Right. Knock it off.
Jerry goes down to Florida, surprises his folks with a Cadillac.
And you buying like, your parents a Cadillac?
Am I buying my parents a Cadillac?
Yeah, you buying your parents a Cadillac?
I mean,
yeah, look, if you got if Cadillac got, money.
If I got Cadillac money, I'm going to buy myself a Cadillac first because I'm kind of selfish like that. But no, I don't mind giving back to my parents. They did, you know, they provided me with a very good life. So, you know, I would do that if I had the money, sure. I ain't buying some random woman a Cadillac on our first date. Guess I'm a broke nigga.
real nigga spend real money.
$50,000 for a Cadillac?
Look, again, I'm not. I'd love to think that I could, like, if I mean, not I'd love to think. I definitely would. If I had like that kind of money, yeah, I would definitely.
That kind of disposable income, yeah, yeah.
Oh no, I'm definitely 100%. I'm like, let me just lace y'all with these Cadillacs or whatever sure. The car of the moment is.
Sure.
I can't imagine my parents wanting a Cadillac specifically. Like what? But definitely,
yeah, they don't seem like Cadillac people. Although I never know. My mother wanted a Charger. Like those, when the Chargers first came out, those with the newer bodies.
Yeah.
She really wanted a Charger and he got her one. He got her a Charger.
Like, what the, wait, what? Like, your mom drives like a Charger right now?
She used to.
What does she drive now?
Now she drives like a, what is it?
A Hellcat?
Like a Toyota or something. She drives some sort of Toyota or something like that.
That's a hell of
a... But yeah, she used to drive a Charger. She was fucking big, yo.
Like, it's a big car, man.
Especially for her. It was like her driving around in a deuce and a quarter.
Like. Yeah, it's a big car. And your mom is like a little lady, too.
Yeah, she's not like a big woman, so...
That's wild. She had a Charger?
Yeah, she had a blue Charger. She had a fucking... Like Demetrius's Charger,
yeah.
Only not souped up and dark blue. But yeah,
yo, that's a wild car for you. Like your mom's just like piddling along. Like, what are you doing? Where are you even going with that car? That's really quite funny.
Gotta get to church somehow, I guess.
Hey,
Jesus but Christ.
Hemi in it.
My wife, it did not. Like, he wasn't kicking out for no Hemi. Like,
yo, your mom driving a Charger with a Hemi is wild.
Yeah, she got MS, yo. Like, her legs don't work right, right? Like, that's too much car.
No, that's why you need the Hemi. Like, she got places to go. She ain't got time for all that bullshit. Like, let's go.
My wife's stepfather has a Cadillac, and it's a real nice, like, black Cadillac. We drove off in it at our wedding, nice. And that was the only time I got to drive that car. And
it goes, and like, it was, drive around the corner and park.
That's exactly what we did. One little circle. Wasn't even a big circle. It was a little circle.
He was like, don't even leave the property.
right.
No, I don't blame
you. Get out. I've been in test drives for new cars longer than that trip. And he keeps it clean, too, boy. It's nice.
Good.
Anyway, yeah, I would get my folks a Cadillac. If they wanted it. So here comes Jack. What's his name? Jack Clampus.
Yeah, I love Jack Clampus. He's a great guy.
Oh, he is. He's like old man George. He steals every scene he's in.
Yeah, he does.
And he's like, you know, you got a Cadillac. And I love this guy.
It's like whole vibe. It's so fucking good.
His old Jewish man shtick, man. I love it. I love it every time I see it. And he's basically like, he's hating on. He's hating on Morty, right? Because it's like, what? You think I've never been in a Cadillac before?
Hundreds. Thousands of times in a Cadillac. He's like, thousands.
Thousands of times. I love it. It takes me back to my childhood.
I love Jack Clampus. He is, do I want to take a ride? He's such a dance.
So George is like, he finds Katie, right? And Katie is in the hospital. I forgot what happened to her.
She had an arrhythmia.
So she's in the hospital, laid up in the bed, being oxygen being fed to her, and George is just trying to, you know, make this Marissa Tomei thing happen, and because George is despicable.
Yes.
We get cuts of the war between the cable guy and Kramer, and we cut back to Del Boca Vista. And Morty, who is the president, is talking about, well, I don't know if we got the funds to do yada, yada, yada. And Jack is like, but you would say that, right? Like he's like, I can't hold my tongue any longer. Morty is stealing from the treasury. And
yo, I love, like, that's a wild accusation with no proof. He's just like, this guy's a big shot now. He's got all this money for a new Cadillac.
He's driving around in a new Cadillac. What more proof do you need? And he's like, my son bought that for me. Your son, he can't afford that. We've all seen his act.
Which is a great callback to him just bombing.
There are a couple of callbacks in this episode to when they were here last, and it's amazing. So the old folks are like, all right, well, we're going to lead. This is going to lead to impeachment proceedings. And older woman comes in. She's like, look, the votes are split. You got one person you got to win over. And because she's undecided, that person's name is Mabel Choate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And more Kramer stuff, more Marissa Tomei stuff. And Mabel comes over and Jerry's kind of like in the bedroom or whatever. And she comes over, she starts talking. Jerry comes out and Jerry realizes, oh shit, this woman is the woman that I stole that marble rye from a couple of episodes ago.
Yep.
And
classic and episode.
And it's a wonderful callback. And she's at this point, she doesn't remember, but he absolutely does. So he tries his best to like, you know, kind of play it off.
Oh,
like,
he dips out quick.
Yeah, he's like, hey, it's a pleasure to meet you for the first time ever. And then he just rolls out, right? Meanwhile, Elaine is going to help George with this Marissa Tomei thing. And they're like, all right, look, we met here today to talk about me seeing Marissa Tomei, but now we need to come up with a lie so that we can tell Susan, because Susan's going to want to know why I met you, because normally I'm here with Susan. And they go back and forth, and Elaine has an idea, which is like really stupid. Like, oh, I got to go to the dentist and I'm afraid, so you're going to come with me. Like, what? Like, that's stupid, right? And George is like, and Elaine is offended, right? She's in her feelings because the first idea that she comes out with, which is a dumb one, is like,
yo, this doesn't make no sense.
He's like, no, that's not going to work. And she's just real offended. And he's just like, look, don't get offended. You know, this is just how I work. This is the first time that you and I are collaborating on a lie.
Yo, like, that's like, it's a serious thing. It's fucking hilarious.
But it's true. Like, if you're going to lie, you gotta have it all mapped out, right? Like, you gotta.
Yeah, you
gotta,
can't go half-assed on this.
You can't go half-assed on a lie. And they go back and forth. It's a funny conversation about what, like, at one point, George is like, oh, well, I'm going to help you with your boyfriend troubles. And he's just like, well, what's his name? Art Bandelay. He's an importer-exporter.
That's a terrible job. Like, it sounds fake.
Right. I don't even know what an importer exporter is.
Yeah.
What do they do? Nothing. Huh. Nothing. It's similar to a conversation that George and Jerry had when they were coming up for an excuse while they were waiting for a woman in the lobby on an office building in the stakeout, right? Like, this was a while ago. And and it was the same name and job, right?
Yeah, that's his go-to fake name, Art Vandelay.
Yeah. So
he's also Art Vandelay, the architect. And I believe he was Art Vandelay or Vandelay Industries when it was his
they make latex.
Yeah, latex. Yeah,
he was going to be a latex salesman.
Yeah.
It's also the name of the judge in the last episode, last couple of episodes, Arthur Vandelay.
Yeah, that's right. And he's like, oh.
This is a good omen. Yeah, this is a good sign.
No, it isn't.
So eventually George meets Marissa Tomei and they hit it off, man. And, you know, it's, I forget what happens after this.
Okay. Now hold on. Here's a question. Hold on. What do you do? All right. You go out for coffee with Beyonce. What do you do? It is working. You could convert this into actually dating Beyonce. Do you go for it? Break up with your fiance? B, admit that you're actually engaged. See what happens.
Right, that's what happened. That's what happened.
Right.
He admitted he was quote unquote engaged.
It's just something you say, according to him. Or C, you just go, you know what? I gotta go. Like you just vibe with the person, see if you still got it, and then you just go home. Feel good about
yourself. I have to leave.
Do you finish the coffee on? You're like, oh yeah, that was cool. And you just don't do anything. But
look, if it's me, I don't go, period.
No, but I'm saying you're there. You're there. You've already pulled the dumb move by even going.
I don't know, man. I my instinct tells me I got to get the fuck out of there.
I got to go.
Yeah, like I can't even like play devil's advocate for the sake of conversation because I like my instinct is telling me, nah, you got to go. Yo.
No, I do what I always do is when I meet women and I find them even moderately attractive, I figure out ways to drop hints that I am married. And by drop hints, I mean say it directly.
right.
Me and my wife did X this weekend. It was crazy.
Exactly.
Nah, yo, because I never want a situation where my wife meets some woman that I've known for 5 years and it's like, oh, who is that? Like, oh, I didn't know you were married. Oh, nobody wants that, man. Nobody wants to have that car ride going home. Get out of here. You never mentioned that you were married?
My bad. I mean, I got busy or whatever.
Like, no, nigga, don't do that. That's stupid. No, I would just be like, you remind me a lot of my fiance.
Yeah. You gotta say shit like that.
You got to, man.
I can't.
I will never meet a woman and not mention that. I will never, never. I always do. I always figure out a way to use it in the conversation. It ain't never going to be something like, I thought you were single. No, you didn't. The fuck you did. Take a look. Look at that ring. It was way cheaper than hers. Relax. Give men like a $5 ring. Fuck out of here. It's unfair.
Yeah, you ain't lying. My ring costs a whopping $250.
That's exactly the cost of mine. And it's got carbon fiber in this bitch. Like, you can't break this thing. They got to use like a special jaws of life to get this thing off if shit goes south. Meanwhile, my wife's ring would break in a second.
Right.
Didn't cost me way more. I mean, like, I didn't buy my wife an insanely, like, crazy expensive ring, but, like, because she didn't want a diamond. But it certainly wasn't $250, I can tell you that.
I overcompensated.
Yeah, nigga, I know.
From the first wedding ring that I bought from the relationship that did not work, I very much overcompensated.
You were like, let me see what is the limit.
How high can you go? When you told me that price, I was like, y'all better stay together forever.
Yeah, that's just, yeah.
Like, don't fuck this one up. Like, is this one going to stick? Because that price tag is insane, dog. Like, come on. Get it together. God damn.
Oh, shit. George meets with Marissa Tomei. He's like, oh, I'm engaged, but, you know. And Marissa Tomei's offended. She fucking gives him a mean-ass right hook. Like, it looked, that shit looked like it connected.
Yeah, he was like, oh, shit.
Susan suspects George is having an affair with Elaine.
So yo, so Elaine's response is hilarious.
So she questions them separately. And, you know, they didn't get the lie straight, right? Like, this is why you plan, right?
Yep.
They didn't get the lie straight. And Elaine says one thing, and George says another. And as a result, Susan punches the shit out of George.
Yeah, she was like, so what does Art Vandelay import? He was like, I don't know, like number two pencils or whatever. She just decks him immediately. Just say you don't know. Why are you getting into the, like, you're getting into the minutia. That's too easy to fuck up.
Right. You got to be broad with your lies, man.
Yeah.
Because you got to, especially when you're involving other people.
Yeah.
Nah, yo. Nah. The cable guy comes back. The cable guy thing is just a waste.
It's not that good of a story.
The cable guy comes back. He knocks on Kramer's door and is like, would you want an apology? I'm sorry. I know I fucked up. And, you know, it's. We're all bastards, and I'm really sorry. And Kramer forgives him. Like, all right, who cares?
The scene of the cable guy chasing Kramer around the city apparently is from Vertigo. Like, they copied scenes from Vertigo to do that, which is kind of
funny. Okay. So they're having the impeachment hearings. They're putting it to a vote. Morty has the votes. But somebody says something like, no, Jack says, of course you got that old bag, right? Yeah. And that triggers Mabel. And she remembers when Jerry said, shut up, your old bag. And she's like, oh, that was your son. Oh, shit. Like father, like son. You're a criminal, too. Fuck you. I'm changing my vote. Impeach this motherfucker.
I did like, by the way, before that, I did like, when Morty, Jerry, and Jerry's mom, they go to dinner, and they go at 6 o'clock, and he's like, and Jack Clemens is there. He's like, look at this guy, can afford to miss out on the early bird special. So rich, like, you know, I bet that meal was like $5.99 instead of like $4.99. Jerry has that great moment. He's like, where are we going? It's like, it's dinner. It's 4 o'clock. Like, why are we eating so early? It's like a steak and a potato or whatever. Like, yo, that's way too early. It's like 4 o'clock. Like, relax, everybody. So, of course, nobody believes him, and he gets impeached.
This is hilarious, yo. He gets impeached. He eventually walks out like Nixon.
Yeah, that's a shot for shot remake of Oliver Stone's Nixon.
Oh, okay. And he gets in his car, and he drives off in his swanky new Cadillac that his son bought for him. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Look, Marissa Tomei is in this episode. That's the big highlight for me. The seniors are another big highlight, man.
Yeah. I love Morty Seinfeld. He's great.
Morty Seinfeld, Jack Klompas, the relationship that those two have are incredible. I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love it. Like two old frenemies.
I honestly would watch a show like back in the 90s of the Seinfelds in that retirement community. I'm surprised no one's ever really done an old people in a full-on retirement community show. Like old Jews in Boca Raton, I feel like they could totally work.
Yeah, where it's just like a bunch of them. Like, not, you know, I'm not talking about like Golden Girls, where Golden Girls is just like just the four, you know, friends, but like a group of people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you know, quote unquote ensemble cast. Like, that would be really fun. Like, I feel like it's got to be in like Boca Raton, like that. Just a, you know, because like down there, like old people are like, they out there fucking like whatever. Like Boca Raton is crazy, dude. Like, yeah, like STDs are rampant out there because they're like, I'm old. What am I wearing a condom for? Who cares? Oh, you're going to get AIDS. Nigga, I'm 90. Who cares? Like, I die tomorrow anyway. Yeah, but it's just like super wild. Like that would just be a really funny show to kind of watch people deal with like modern issues, but also like trapped in this weird community. Again, yeah. This is a $1 million idea, guys. This is a $1 million idea.
Apparently, this episode was inspired by Larry David, who bought his father a Lexus, and who was the president of his condo association in Florida, and started. And those people started wondering what the other residents would think. So you have that to as the inspiration for this episode.
That's pretty good. I like that. That sounds exactly like something Larry David would have happened to him. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, that's it for that double episode for Airing of Grievances. That is the Cadillac, and we will see you guys next time.
See ya.
Bye. Bow, 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 bow.
Really?